the last couple of days, I've been in touch with, you know, a lot of Rabbanim from America, a lot of Rabbanim from here, a lot of individuals who went there and everyone's going through the same battle. You know, it's not. You know, if I was to talk to someone and said, I have a hard time waking up in the morning, I wake up at 2 in the afternoon, we're not going through the same battle. If somebody is, has an addiction to alcohol and another person can't drink alcohol, they're not going through the same battle. But every Jew right now is going through the same battle of trying to make some understanding of what's happening. I'll preface by saying at 1:45, you'll get much better direction in life on how to handle it, and maybe everything I'm saying should be chucked out the window. But this is more, general people say, "Oh, I'm speaking for me, not for you," and they don't mean it. But I'm really speaking for myself, just as my way of getting. I could also walk in the street and just speak out my ideas, but at least then at least here I won't get as many looks. And the answer that I've heard from everyone, the answer that just keeps coming to my head, is the only way to survive, and it doesn't really do justice because it won't do much, but you have to have emunah. You just have to understand that, we all have to understand that Hashem knows what He's doing, and He has a very, very big picture and why it had to happen. And, you can spend your whole life, you'll drive yourself crazy trying to contemplate, why does everything happen? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? But sometimes we just have to realize that we just don't know. We just don't know, and it's okay. And that's the biggest chizik I got from talking to some very, very big rabbanim, people who I've never seen not have positivity in their entire life. There was a lot of down. And his rub I'm in touch with, his every voice note he's ever sent me, 100, 200 times, it always ends, Kultiv, with like a very like high pitchy, excited voice. He didn't do that. He did not do that when he sent me a note on Friday because, he's human. He's going through whatever, and he's in America, he's going through what everybody else is going through. So I'm going to share a little bit. Now, I wasn't at Meron, and, as much as when you don't go through an experience with someone else, you can't say, I understand what you're going through, because you don't. So everybody's going through on a different level, but I'll just say for what occurred to me and whatever you could take from that. I wake up at various times in the middle of the night. I'm not usually cognizant, so when you get a text at 2:00, Tehillim, crazy stuff going on in Meron. Okay, yeah, I would imagine crazy stuff were going on in Meron. Like it wasn't like every other year, crazy stuff were going on. Not thinking so much of it. And then, okay, when I got up to begin my day and you start to see a little more what's going on, okay, we started to get a bigger picture. So I get the shul, and the guy who opens the door is, he's one of the biggest jokesters. The guy's about 70, but he's probably one of the biggest jokesters I've ever met in my life. And I think the only time, at first I'd ever seen him, he was so serious, because his grandson, at 12:00, said, doesn't have to remember, many people who went to Meron, they come from families that don't have, they have kosher phones. So with no service, and I imagine it would have been impossible at Meron to have made a phone call. And if you had service and been able to hear what the other person was saying, I would actually have to say that would have been physically impossible. Maybe if you had service, you sent the message, I'm okay. Like, but there's no other way. So this guy gets him at 12:00 out of his grandson. I got on someone else's phone. I'm on my way to Meron. And then they can't get in touch with him. He wakes up the kid's mom at 4:30 in the morning. And they can't get in touch with him. And I see this guy, like, he's literally in shambles, not knowing what was going on with his grandson. And to a point, it hit me that I can only imagine what every person in America who, even if you're under a rock, at some point, between 6 and 9 p.m. in America, at some point, the message got to you, something was going on in Meron. And you're like, oh, man, I have a kid who's in Meron. I have a kid who may be in Meron. And the nervousness that they must have been going through. One of the guys we davened with was in Meron, they told you this. And he comes, we asked him, oh, how was he? He's like, it was great, Baruch Hashem. Like, everything was okay? He's like, yeah, it was fine. Someone's like, I don't think he knows what happened. And then we told him what happened, and he literally dropped. Not literally, he didn't drop, but you could tell that he was thinking to himself, I was there a half hour before it happened. And he had no idea, he didn't check his phone when he got home. You get home at 2:30 in the morning, as a Shana Alka, you get home at 2:30, you want to go to bed, and as an adult also, you want to get a few hours of sleep. And what went through his mind is, wow, that could have been me, and just how crazy it was. And again, I wasn't there, so it's very hard for me to relate. Like, I can't say that I felt I was in a similar situation. I was not. I was in my bed, or I would have, either way, I was in my bed. Not so much would have been different, but for this guy, it could have happened a half hour before. He could have been there. He could have, you know, chas v'shalom, something could have happened to his family, and really being able to, really being able to see really being able to see through his eyes what happened, you know, it was really, for me, it was, and as much as hearing other people's stories and reflections and, you know, many, and seeing the names and some of the stories, and obviously the Levaya from yesterday is obviously heart-wrenching and very, very sad, but I guess seeing it from really someone who was there, and at that first event, it was 5 a.m. on Friday. It wasn't like processing it after Shabbos 3 days later. This was like, as always on anybody, like you could just imagine what a minion was at that point, but you didn't know anything, like, no one's having any kavanah, and all everyone's thinking about is what happened, and seeing the first person who went through it. So I'm just going to leave with a few ideas that I think to try to suggest, and I don't think any of you are doing it, but why it happened. I know this is the reason why it happened, or it had to happen for this reason, or it had to happen for that reason. It's just a losing proposition. We have no clue why it happened. It's not a, you know, as they say, it's well above your pay grade, but there's just nothing good will come out of it. But I want to make a radical suggestion. I think radical. I had a boss who, his parent passed away at a youngish age, and he had already passed that age. And my boss used to always tell me, I'm living on borrowed time. I never really thought what that meant. But he would say, like, you know, my father died at 55. You know, I'm over 55. I'm supposed to be dead. And the fact that I'm still alive today, I'm living on borrowed time. And throughout COVID, I've really felt that, as I think the world has just become so different than what we can remember it being, you know, last February. The world is just at a very, you know, a very different place. But I really believe that we are living on borrowed time. And when you're living on borrowed time and you only get one chance at the world, at your life, you got to make the most out of every moment. It's not to say that, oh, I wish it would have been, you know, thank God I'm alive and, you know, it happened to that person, didn't happen to me, or, you know, whatever happened. But we just don't know, because there's a million different ways that things happen. But the only thing we control is every moment that we are alive. And I wonder sometimes, it's a scary thing to wonder, but when Rahman al-Islam, one of these things happen, you see the person and they're depicted as like, I never knew Moshe Rabbeinu, but sometimes you wonder, like, how great was Moshe Rabbeinu? You see, you're like, it's unbelievable. You know, that is amazing, but that picture of Tani with that smile, I can't get that out of my head. Like, it's just incredible. Like, and then everyone's saying, that's not like just a picture we got, that, like, you know, the brochure for Shalavim for this year. Like, that was his life. And whenever you hear all these stories, it's how amazing these people are. This 27-year-old, also Chassid, who passed away, this was the first Friday of his marriage with his wife. He didn't prepare. Like, every Friday they would prepare the whole Shabbos together, but they didn't prepare because that was a deal. She let him go to Meiro. Now her and her kids will never see me. Like, it's just incredible. It's incredible. And, you know, you think to yourself, if chas, and obviously we don't want this to happen, but chas v'shalom, this happened. Again, our life isn't that, like, you know, when God forbid if a tragedy happens to us, it's how the world depicts us, because all that matters is how Hashem depicts us. But if the world is looking at us and our image is in a high way, you can only imagine what it means for a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the only way that happens is that every day, every minute, every the story, I don't know those of you that are at the funeral or watching it, but Rabbi Cohen, his Rebbe from last year, was just saying with Rav Tanchum Cohen, with how he met his chavrus outside, he wanted to learn in the optimal way, and they were on opposite sides, and how he created the real image of Zoom of being a base medrash, and just everything that he was doing, it was just really, it was really incredible and really real for what it means, for getting so much. Obviously, you know, you'd rather get chizik not having to have a tragedy, but the chizik from the lives these people lived and what that means to me, how I want to have a life like that. I want to have a life that it really looks like every moment is meaningful. And you could always tell, like, it wasn't insincere that people were saying it. It was like real, it was real sincerity. I talked to a few people who were just acquaintances with him, and that's how you usually have the best diversity. And what they're saying of him is incredible. So, you know, Kav Chomer from everyone who really knew him on a real way. And I'll just conclude with this. It's hard to imagine. A couple months ago already, unfortunately, there was an alumnus from the yeshiva who passed away. He was here 2 years ago, and I was in touch with about 50 guys from his year. And I, this is not like my forte. It's really not. I don't handle this well. As every, you know, as we talked about, everyone in the yeshiva has roles. So it's not. If my role was to help people through these situations, we would really have to daven. We never had situations like this. But the one thing I kept telling everyone, I really hold true, and this is talk about it. Whatever you're feeling inside, talk. Family, friends, therapists, whoever it is, but talk about it inside, because the worst thing you do is you keep it. First of all, when you keep it in you, it never leaves. And for better or for worse, the koach of forgetting is the only way we're able to move on in life, because otherwise, every tragedy and every bad thing that ever happened in our life or the world would never leave us. But it's the talking about it that's able to get it off our chest. Otherwise, in 5, 10, 15 years from now, you'll wake up and be like, why am I still upset about that? Why am I still upset about that? Because you keep everything in because you've never had an opportunity to process it. And it's not an easy thing to process. And certainly, I know the struggles I'm going through, and struggles friends of mine are going through, like, really, like, can't make, like, real... Not like real balamunas that I know. Like the greatest, the people with the greatest amun in the whole world. And someone was telling me, like, I have tightness on God right now. Like, that's real. That's really real to me when I hear that. So don't think you're alone. Everyone is going through this struggle. So, you know, talking about it and doing these sessions are always just helpful, and hearing from other people's perspectives, and just, you know, again, hopefully that Hashem doesn't need to keep sending us these kind of signs for us to have wake up calls, but to really realize that it's not a, you know, and I felt it this past Rosh Hashanah the first time in my life that, like, really, this could be it. I don't know if I'm gonna have another year. Not like, oh, let me try to check. Like, I can't take anything for granted anymore. There's nothing in this world that's for granted. And every second is really real, and making the most of every second, and making the most of every opportunity. And, you know, that's just Hashem. We don't have to have a situation like that. We don't have to hear of our chaverim who had to see dead people. Maybe, I don't even know if you guys know anyone who, Rahman al-Hassan, walked over somebody and actually contributed, and we can't blame them, and they shouldn't blame themselves, but actually walked over somebody who died. And, you know, what can you say? Like, we shouldn't have to know of these things, and to really talk it out, not the person to talk it out with, but with the professionals that we have on staff who are here to help each and every one of you and every one of us be able to get over this and grow, and Emir Hashem, never have to have such tragedy again.